If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis 30, as we continue our series, we see Jacob prospering today. Amy and I were remarking this week about how Genesis is earthy. It is a very earthy book, like it's real, and at times it's messy, but it's foundational for understanding our world, understanding our God, understanding mankind. In the big picture, God is fulfilling his covenantal promise to Abraham and his offspring. And last week we saw, by hook or by crook, God is blessing Jacob's family. 11 sons, one daughter. And today we see something similar now, the blessing of Jacob's possession. God is prospering them materially. So this morning we're looking at Genesis 30, picking up in verse 25. Please stand as I read God's word. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me, for you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that indeed you are sovereign over everything. All creatures of our God and King, we sang this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we are some of those creatures. And indeed, as men and women and children set apart from the rest of the creation, because we are the only ones made in your image. And Father, we are the only ones that you sent your son Jesus to die for. You did not send him for angels or for animals, but you sent him for mankind. And so we thank you for God, for reaching out to us while we were in darkness and lost, and initiating a relationship and inviting us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Thank you for this time that we have. for your word. We pray that you would speak to us and lead us again to the feet of Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. This is another one of those Genesis texts where when I'm done reading the text, I just want to say something like, I think we all know what this means, and then I sit down and let us all figure it out, because what is going on in this text? This is a different type of text, is it not? Remember, big picture, that Jacob had fled his home and country after deceiving his father Isaac and swindling his brother out of the birthright and the blessing. So he fled to his uncle Laban, and he ended up marrying his daughters, and he wanted to marry Rachel, and of course, his uncle Laban had swindled him out of that and tricked him into marrying Leah. So then he ends up marrying both of them. And we saw last week in the prior part of this chapter, he ends up basically getting the blessing of 11 sons and one daughter over 14 years. That sounds like a homeschool family, does it not? They had a big van they were driving around. But remember, that's with four women. That's with two wives and two maidservants. His uncle Laban was a lying, cheating scoundrel, selfish, devious, deceitful, and dishonest. And he had worked for him for 14 years, had 12 children, and now is rightfully thinking about how will he provide for his family. How will he provide for his own? And he saw that his work was making Laban prosper, but he wasn't getting ahead in life. And so big picture, you take what the end of chapter 30, the text we just read, basically verses 25 through 34 is a conversation between Jacob and his uncle Laban. And then verses 35 through 43, the rest of the chapter, is what happened and how God prospered Jacob in the midst of a scoundrel uncle who tried to cheat him out of everything. So I'll break it up into those two parts as well, and we'll first look at Jacob's concern. His first concern was that he wanted to return home with his new family. Look at verse 25. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." For whatever reason, maybe because his favorite wife finally now had a son, had a child, and he wanted to go back and maybe have those children meet their grandparents, he wanted to go back. He'd been there 14 years up to this point. He wanted to go back. So he goes to his uncle Laban. He says, "Send me away." Now you think, send me away, that's, he's sort of like seeking a release from an obligation or something. But he said, "Give me my wives and my children as well." So something's going on there. Basically, in the ancient Near East, children that were born in servitude did not belong to their parents. They belonged to the master of the parent. And these children were born in servitude. And yet it was a little bit different here because Jacob was Laban's nephew. He was also his son-in-law. This gets messy, doesn't it? That's why I say it's earthy. When your uncle is also your son, your father-in-law, you know there's a lot going on in the text. So basically he says, "I want to go back, and so would you release us so that we can go back?" And then he names it at the end of verse 26. "For you know the service that I have given you." I've done my part of the bargain now. I have served you 14 years as we agreed for your two daughters, 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah. I've done my part. Release me. Laban's response is verse 27. "But Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it.'" So it's interesting that he names there, "I've learned this by what?" Divination is basically using omens to try to learn God's will. It's not biblical. You should not use tarot cards to learn God's will. You should not use horoscopes to learn God's will. Laban used pagan gods. You're going to see in the text in the next chapter in 31 that he had household pagan gods. And that's what he was using to kind of discern God's will. And that's what he says. I've learned through basically the occult practices that it is God who's blessing, your God is blessing me through you. And that's why he says at the end of verse 28, name your wages and I'll give it to you. So tell me what it'll take to keep you here. And you know, if you're an employer or you own a store or you manage a group of people, employees, that there are perhaps employees that bring in a lot of customers, a lot of clients, they bring in a lot of money maybe into the business. And if you know they're thinking about leaving, you want to say, hey, what do I need to pay you to stay? And that's what's going on here with Uncle Laban. So he says, name your wages and I will give it. But Jacob doesn't give him a wage. He doesn't say that. He moves on. He basically says, I want to provide for my own household. Verse 29, Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. Remember that phrase, increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. So that's an interesting phrase there. You're being blessed abundantly by me. The Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. Wherever I turned, you're getting blessed by it. Jacob's aware his household is not prospering by this. I just want to take a moment to just point out, this is a specific example of a spiritual truth in Scripture. That followers of God bless those who are not followers of God. We do. And I'm not trying to sort of toot our own horn here. But brothers and sisters, if you look at history, it is Christians who open hospitals. It is Christians who start schools and universities. It is Christians who open orphanages. That's what Christians do. And they have done this throughout history. Christians find ways to bless those around them. Long before there was an earthquake years ago in Haiti that devastated the country, there were Christians there doing ministry. And after the earthquake, governments of the world came in. That's fine. That's good. But long after the governments of the world left, Christians are still in Haiti doing ministry. It is Christians who bless those around them. And this is a little picture of that. He says, the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. God is using the church to bless the world. And then he raises this question at the end of verse 30. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? He wants to provide for his own household. Laban's response, verse 31, he said, what shall I give you? Again, he asked him, how much do you want? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. He's saying, I don't want more wages from you. No, I don't want anything from you. This is very similar, by the way, to what Abraham said to the king of Sodom after Abraham went and rescued the king of Sodom from the other kings who came in and took Lot and the other kings hostage. He went back, rescued the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom's like, how much can I give you? How much wealth can I give you? Abraham says, I don't want any of your pagan wealth. I'm not after your pagan wealth. And in a sense, there's a parallel here to what Jacob's doing. I don't want you to give me something. I want to earn this for myself. So Jacob comes up with a fair plan whereby both Laban and Jacob can prosper together. Verse 31. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So I'm going to explain what's going on here. In the ancient Near East, most sheep and lambs were white, all white, completely white. Most goats were all black. And there was a small minority that were speckled, spotted, or multicolored. Okay, multicolored. I don't mean multicolored like the horse in The Wizard of Oz that kept changing colors of the rainbow. I mean, just like, they were gray. They were just different. They weren't solid. They were different kind of colors there. So few of them were speckled, spotted, or multicolored. Jacob said, I'll just take these ones. I will pasture your flocks for you, Uncle Laban. I will pasture. And at the end of the day, as the whole flock prospers, I'll just keep the speckled ones for myself. For example, if there are 100 sheep, let's say 80 of them are completely white. 20 of them are speckled, spotted, or different colored, okay? And so the idea is that after 6 years, those 100 sheep would become 1,000 sheep, and 800 of them would be white, and they would be Laban's, and 200 of them would be speckled, spotted, or multicolored, and they would be Jacob's. So this is kind of the plan he puts out. In other words, it's proportionate blessing. I will shepherd all the flocks. You'll get a lot, and you have most of the white ones anyway, and the black goats. I'll just take the multicolored ones. That sounds like a reasonable deal, okay? That's what he's saying. It's fair. And even verse 33, he says, "So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." In other words, if I take any of yours, it'll be considered theft. I only want the ones that are speckled and spotted here. Big picture, what I think's going on here is Jacob is beginning to change. Jacob's beginning to change, and we're going to see this change over the next couple chapters. It culminates in him wrestling with the angel of the Lord at the Jabbok River when God renames him, but that's coming up in Genesis 32. But we do see a man here now stepping out. He's growing, just like God grows us. When you come to Christ, God begins to change you. You're never fully changed this side of heaven, but God begins to change you, and there are changes taking place. Jacob sets out this fair plan, sincere and fair. He was entrusting himself and the flocks to God's work. Laban agrees to the plan, verse 34. Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." So we have a good plan, right? Now, first thing Laban does, he cheats. Verse 35. "But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock." So that very day, he says, "Jacob, you can have all the speckled." The idea is that white sheep would beget white sheep, speckled and spotted sheep would beget speckled and spotted sheep, okay? So the first thing Laban does is, and he says, "Yeah, you can have all the speckled." The first thing he does is he takes all the speckled sheep and the spotted sheep and takes them over here, and he gives them to his sons, sends them 3 days away so they have nothing to do, and basically, now, you know, if we said we started with 100 sheep and 80 were white and 20 were speckled, Laban took the 20 that were speckled, sent them over there and said, "Go for it, Jacob. You can have 80 white sheep. You can have as many speckled lambs out of this group that you want." He was a scoundrel. That's what he was doing. He's playing the shell game. Have you ever met people like this? They say one thing, they deliver another, and he knows exactly. First word came to mind, Verizon. Verizon. Right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to name a name of a person, but it's that kind of thing. It's the bait and switch. Here's what you're promised in the store when you get home. Here's what your bill is. Nothing you can do about it. So Laban was unscrupulous. I mean, he's playing the shell game here. He's setting it up so that his white sheep prosper and multiply. Jacob is left to shepherd Laban's all-white flock, out of which he is to receive his speckled, spotted, and dark-colored animals. Now, here's what happens. Jacob sets out to grow his flock. Okay? Let me begin by saying Jacob could have just gotten ticked off and, you know, returned fire with fire. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Christians ought not do that either. Christians are called to respond differently. Listen to this from Romans 12. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly." Literally what it means is give yourselves to humble things. Believers, when somebody takes advantage of you, you don't turn around and take advantage of them. But you humble yourself and you give yourself to humble things. "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." Isn't this countercultural? If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Never avenge yourselves. If you've been wronged, if you've been Labaned, if you've been Verizoned, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If someone does evil to you, you don't do evil to them, you do good to them. Isn't that countercultural? So Laban is being a scoundrel with his son-in-law, his nephew. Jacob does not return evil for evil. He sets out to work. So, conventional wisdom at the time said that what the sheep and the goats were looking at during the act of reproduction impacted the color of their offspring. Okay? There is no basis in science at all to prove this theory, at all. It's kind of like saying that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. It doesn't. There's no basis at all. But conventional wisdom said that it did. So, basically what Jacob did, like it says in the text, he took pieces of wood and sticks, and he would strip pieces of the bark off, and so there'd be these lighter pieces of the bark and darker pieces of the bark, and it looked kind of spotted, and sometimes there would be stripes. Picture like a cucumber. If you just took one slice off a cucumber, it'd be like this white stripe down it. Well, he did this with all these branches. He put them in the watering troughs or in front of the watering troughs. And then when the sheep and the goats would be in heat and come and drink the water and they would mate, the idea is that they would produce speckled offspring. Okay? No basis at all in science. Do you know what God did anyway? He produced all kinds of speckled offspring for Jacob. That's what the text is saying. God produced all kinds of, not even because Jacob did that. It didn't come because Jacob was doing these things. He sorted the stronger and the weaker animals so that his flock would become stronger. Nothing in the text indicates Jacob is in sin by doing these things. Jacob is finding a way to work hard to provide for his family. And I just want to say there's nothing unspiritual about that. In fact, it's biblical to work hard and provide for your family. There's nothing unspiritual about thinking, how am I going to provide for my wife and my children? The scripture says, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We might translate that, be street smart and IRS compliant. Okay? Hard work, ingenuity, and perseverance are biblical qualities. Jacob is saying, all right, Laban, you're going to take the speckled that were mine. I'm going to have to work harder now to get some because I'm starting with all these solid colored white sheep, black goats. I have to do something about this. And here's what God did. God greatly increased Jacob's flock. Look at verse 43. Thus the man increased greatly. There's that phrase again. I referred back from previous when I was reading a few moments ago. So when I said, remember this phrase. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys. Why? Because the Lord was keeping his promise to Jacob, to Isaac, and to Abraham. God was keeping his promise. We know that Jacob saw this because of something he says in the next chapter. Turn over to chapter 31 and look at verse 9. You're going to see this more next week when you get into chapter 31. But I just want to show you, Jacob knew that it was the Lord who was doing this. Why? Because God was telling him. Chapter 31, verse 9. basically, as Jacob's flocks are growing, the other sons of Laban are kind of getting jealous of him. So here he is talking to Laban's sons. Verse 9, thus God has taken away the livestock of your father, Laban's sons, and given them to me. This is what God has done. God is the one blessing me. Verse 10, in the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. And I love that phrase, I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. When you are taken advantage of, when someone says lies about you, when someone rips you off, the Lord sees that. He says, I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I will take care of that. You keep working hard and trust me. I think about what the scripture says in 1 Chronicles 29 about how God provides all things. 1 Chronicles 29, it's on the bottom of your bulletin or your sermon outline. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Jacob is realizing his blessing will come from his God. Now, he's still, just like Abraham did, three steps forward, two steps back. We're going to see this go on a little bit more. But God's at work in Jacob's life, and he's at work in your life if Jesus is your Savior. And you see this in your own life, don't you? Three steps forward, two steps back. Yes, better back, but God's faithfully working. A few applications I want to give to you. First, pray that the Lord would give you a biblically responsible and mature view of your work, calling, and vocation. Pray that the Lord would give you a biblically responsible and mature view of your calling, your work, your vocation, what it is the Lord has called you to do. Now, you may not have a job outside the home. Your calling, vocation, work might be the children or the grandchildren that you're raising. Could be something else. But whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do, pray that the Lord would give you a biblical and mature view of it. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 6, both to, in a sense, the employee and the employer. Ephesians 6, this is also at the bottom of your sermon outline. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters. By the way, bondservants, I would say there, is roughly equivalent to workers today. Okay? Bondservants, obey your earthly masters, your bosses, with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. So you better be a loyal, faithful worker, as if you're working for Christ. Verse 6, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers. Don't just do stuff. Don't just do the right thing when the boss is around. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, bosses, managers, supervisors, owners, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. In other words, remember, owners, bosses, employers, masters, you also have a master in heaven that you are serving. So you're under authority. You're under authority as well. So pray that the Lord would give you a biblically responsible, mature view of your calling. Secondly, pray that the Lord would give you a biblically responsible and mature view of your possessions. As I said, there's nothing wrong with Jacob saying, I want to provide for my family and better my family's estate, in a sense. Now, we can always go off on the extremes. Are there people who try to better their family and better their bank account through ill-gotten gain and through fraudulent reasons and through abusing others or taking it? Of course there are. Are there others who are way over here on this side who are just lazy and don't do anything and they just wait for people to get? Yes. But believers are called to have a diligent work ethic and to take a biblical view of their possessions. I want to give you this is a general rule of thumb, recognizing that general rules of thumb always have exceptions, right? So you don't understand what I don't want to say something I'm not trying to say here. And by the way, I got this from one of my seminary professors who was named Dr. Ronald Nash, our philosophy and Christian thought professor. And he was naming basically this reality. Much of the time, not always, much of the time, what separates the haves from the have-nots is what he called a long-term event horizon. And what that means is this. The have-nots often say, wow, I could buy this today, I can buy this today, I could buy this today, and they spend their money on this, forgetting about the long-term event horizon. The have-nots, they stay in poverty, often because they're blowing money left and right. Not always, right? Not always. Aldrich is not saying always. But often. Often the haves say, I'm not going to buy this today. I'm not going to buy a four-wheeler, an Xbox, the brand new phone every time it comes out, the brand new charger every time it comes out. I'm not going to buy this stuff because I want to have something better down the road. So I'm going to give up something that I want now that I don't need so that I can get something better down the road. Are you following? So the haves often are saying, I'm going to go without something now so that I can get something better later. That's the idea. That often separates. That often is the difference between poverty and those who actually end up providing for themselves. Not always. Certainly there are those on the two extremes, as I said. I once heard someone say that they don't like when it comes to finances, and I tend to agree, they don't like when people use the term, say things like, we need to help the less fortunate. Or they say things like, well, I'm very fortunate. Now, we know what you mean when people say that. Truly, biblically, we don't believe in fortune or luck or things like this, chance, right? We believe God is sovereign over it all. But this person was saying, he wants to move away from this term fortunate or less fortunate because it implies that those who have things are there just out of happenstance or chance. And he said many times people who we consider fortunate have worked hard to get there. They've worked really hard and they've said no to things and they've gone without, you know, they've decided to do that. And I think about this and how we're raised. I'm sitting here and I realize, by the way, I'm drinking Fiji water. But it's not, okay? It's not Fiji water, it's just a Fiji water bottle that we refill with water from our filter at home, right? We probably found this bottle someplace. We probably found it on the side of the road. I don't know. We probably have it because it doesn't transfer plastics into the water. There's probably some reason why. So we don't go buy Fiji water. We use filtered water. But you're talking to a person, and I said, should I share this? And one of my kids said, don't share that in the sermon, Dad. Don't say that. I'm going to say it anywhere. So we grew up, five kids, 27 foster kids on a farm, two hardworking parents, and I grew up wearing hand-me-down underwear from my cousin. No lie. I'm serious. Every pair of underwear I had said Eric Burke on them because they belonged to my cousin. I go to summer camp and it says Eric Burke. Who's Eric Burke? Those are mine. That's not your name. I know they're my cousins, but I wear them. So they were just far enough ahead in the line. Like it was hand-me-down. I'm just saying like you need to be a good steward. You need to say no to some things now so that you can say yes to better things later. That often is the difference between people who end up being reliant upon the government or somebody else and people who are more self-reliant or not having to depend upon others, okay? If you tell anybody I shared that story about those underwear, I'm going to tell them you're lying, okay? I didn't say that. All right. Last application, this. And this is, when, as we think about material possessions and what ultimately this is pointing towards, you know, if nothing else, you can say what we're learning from this text with Jacob is that your sin and Jacob's sin did not disqualify him from the covenantal promises that God gave to him. Jacob was still a swindler too. Now he's beginning to change. But God is blessing Jacob nonetheless. God is keeping his word to his covenant. And he's blessing Abraham and his offspring. He's growing them in number and he's growing them in possessions. But I like what John Piper said about this matter of possessions in Christ. He said, imagine if you could get to heaven, if you get to heaven and in heaven you can have everything you want. Healthy body, no more sickness, beauty in creation. You get to heaven and you have all the possessions that you want, total contentment, everything that you want in heaven, but not Jesus Christ. Would you still want to go? To me, that's a plumb line that should search our hearts to say, what do I truly value in life and in death? Because I don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus not there. It is not about the stuff. It is about him. And what do you value? What do you value? All right, we're going to move on next week with Jacob beginning to go back to his homeland. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have given us Jesus, your Son. He's so valuable. Father, I pray that you would reorder our thinking and our hearts to be in alignment with your word. It's called repentance. And as you reorder our thinking and our hearts, that then our actions would follow as we live in your ways and walk in your paths. And thank you that you promised to guide us along those paths too. You don't send us down the path alone. Thank you for that. I pray, Lord God, this morning that you would provide for the families here. I know some are in sales and they're wondering how it's going to go this month or next month. Some know that their job is on the line. Some truly do wonder how they're going to make ends meet. So provide, help us to live biblically within our means, trusting you to work hard and diligently. We pray for those here this morning who don't know you, God, that you would move in their hearts to see their need of a Savior and show them who he is, that the Savior is your Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and that they would call upon the name of Jesus and be saved, and that you would make their hearts born again and regenerate and move them to follow your ways, to become one of your children. So lead us, God, we pray. Father, thank you for our families. Bless them. We pray that they would know Christ, that they would follow Christ, that they would love Christ and treasure and cherish Christ, and that we would too. To give up our ways of sin and turn to Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we extend a special welcome to our guests. We hope that you feel welcome. If you call Covenant Life your church home, please turn and greet those around you right after the service. Go out with the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen.